Welcome to Soul News here with Kevin Clark. I am Kevin Clark, joined by Lindsay Jones. Lindsay, hello.
Hey, Kevin. How's it going?
Good. So just if you listened yesterday, if you took part in that entry into the canon, you know that the Monday episode that was supposed to go up on Wednesday, which was torpedoed by the Aaron Rodgers trade, no longer happening because so many things have happened in the interim that pretty much everything we said on Monday was dated. So on Monday, you got us giving you the latest on Aaron Rodgers, plus a Travis Kelce interview. And then, you know what? We did 40 minutes of podcasting just for our own happiness. We just love hanging out. So we did that.
You've been on paternity leave. It was nice to just catch up and, you know, it was some reps for us.
I'll just keep repping it. So now we have an all new fresh episode, everything being recorded today. We're not trying to thread the needle with canned episodes. So here we are. Okay. So we have you and I, and then we have Von Miller. And at the top of this episode, Mr. Sauce Gardner, who will react to the Aaron Rodgers trade. Von Miller also reacted to the trade. He had a lot of things that he also said, as you just pointed out, he also said very nice things about Russell Wilson. Maybe a little bit stunning of that was in the past. It was in the past tense, but we have not heard a lot of Russ praise. So that was very nice. It was very nice for everybody. Russ needs a little love. There was a thing the other day that I don't know if you saw this. He drove his golf cart into a sand trap.
He clarified that he was merely the passenger, but yes, it happened that there was.
If you end up in a sand trap in a golf cart, you ended up. There's no real. It's just,
I mean, he's been taking L's.
You either went into the sand trap or you didn't.
He took L's all over the place, including in the metal draft, which is now live at The Ringer. So make sure you check that out just everywhere. So it was nice to hear like a positive thing about this guy for once.
So what's funny about that is that Russell Wilson rumor about the sand trap that was eventually confirmed, I believe, started on Reddit. And wouldn't you know, there's another Reddit-fueled story in the NFL here on Tuesday. So Tuesday morning, it is revealed that the sportsbook Reddit, which I am not ever going to visit or look into. I'll just read the screenshots. I don't ever want to go on the sportsbook Reddit. Said that someone with a lot of numbers in their name, which always establishes credibility, said that Will Levis telling family and friends is going to number one.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
I don't necessarily believe that, but let's back up here. So Vegas odds are usually pretty indicative over the past couple of years of something. And the one sort of thing that kind of sticks in my brain is the Paolo Banchero Magic odds, which started to plummet in the days before the draft. And I kept saying, it seems like there's no way the Magic are going to draft Banchero. Nobody was talking about this. And I went on, Bill and I talked about it. We're just like, this is kind of weird that the odds keep plummeting. And then wouldn't you know it, Vegas knew and a bunch of NBA reporters didn't. And by the way, like Magic players didn't know. Paolo Banchero didn't know. It was crazy. He was on Ryan Russell a couple weeks ago talking about that. Franz Wagner was on this show a couple weeks ago talking about that. Vegas somehow knew when like two people in the Magic organization knew. Okay. And I do believe that the Levis odds dropping that quickly has something to do with Reddit, but I also believe it has to do with something else. I don't think Vegas is necessarily, unless there was so much money placed on Levis because of this one post, I don't think Vegas is going to go all in on that kind of plummet off of just one Reddit post. I don't think that. I don't know as much about sportsbooks as other people, but I just reading the tea leaves, whatever. Maybe there's something to it. What I don't really believe is that Will Levis is like in a group chat with his family being like, I just got the phone with Frank Reich. I'm in Carolina. I also don't, there's not a long history of teams doing that. Like, I remember when Andrew Luck went number one, the Colts didn't tell him until the morning of, because I remember Ryan Grigson being like, yep, we felt it was fair to call Andrew Luck and tell him he's going first overall. That was on Thursday morning, not over the weekend and then telling a Redditor.
Yeah, it's not something that happens in the era of the rookie wage scale. It used to happen
right.
Longer
they used
ago
to have to start negotiating the Jake Long negotiate the contract thing.
Yeah, because they wanted to know that if we draft this guy, we can start the negotiations, that he's gonna, you know, we're gonna be able to get a deal done and all that sort of stuff. But it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen anymore. And I think there's some TV influences there too. You know, the NFL, ESPN, all the networks like do not want this stuff spoiled, even when we kind of know it's going to happen. I mean, this is great for the NFL. We have all seemed set for a few days now that Bryce Young is going to be the number one pick. It still seems very likely that Bryce Young is going to be the number one pick, but this is the dream scenario. We're 3 days out and all of a sudden, or 2 days out now, it's Tuesday. And now there's all this new speculation. So whether this is betting market manipulation, which it certainly could be, whether this is, you know, there's some smoke here that people are starting to talk, it makes it really fun, and it's going to make these last 48 hours before the draft much more exciting than it would be when there was 100% certainty about what was going to happen at the top.
This is such a chaotic draft because there aren't enough good players. As we talked about on the now infamously canned episode, 15 to 17 first round grades, according to a lot of people. Brandon Bean was asked directly how many first round grades he had, and he said, I won't tell you, but it's not great, which leads me to believe it's around 15 to 17, that number that keeps getting repeated a lot by NFL insiders. The fact that that's happening, I think it's more chaotic because teams are going to say, screw it. And if teams are at 18 and they're like, you know what? We don't really like any of these guys. There's going to be reaches. There's going to be trades. There's going to be chaos. There's going to be maybe you trade the pick for a veteran. I'm just saying, when you don't have the chalkiest drafts are the ones with the most talent in it, because you just say, okay, we're going to take the eighth best player at eight, and then everything goes from there. So I think we could see some real fireworks on Thursday because of the lack of talent.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think that the most exciting drafts now are when trades happen, and trades almost exclusively involving draft prospects almost exclusively are happening for quarterbacks, or at least the good trades. Bad teams tend to trade up to take non-quarterbacks. That will happen from time to time. But the fireworks happen when teams want to move for a quarterback. And given that this class has four quarterbacks who probably have first round grades, and then Hendon Hooker, who probably doesn't have first round grades, but teams might want to try to get back into the first round to get him, to get his fifth year option, given that his rookie year is going to be basically a red shirt year because of his injury. We might see some really exciting movement of teams that are going to be desperate to get up to get one of those quarterbacks, especially if Anthony Richardson starts to fall or CJ Stroud starts to fall, which was kind of the new speculation out there. And a lot of the latest mock drafts from, you know, the really well-respected folks around the league. So Thursday night shaping up to be really, really interesting. Are you more interested now in what the Panthers are going to do? Like, are you watching David Tepper a little more closely and Frank Reich and what's going to happen there at number one?
Oh, I've been watching David Tepper closely for a long time. And again, made some good points on Monday. We should just talk about the Monday episode like it was the greatest episode of all time. Just like the legendary, it was circulated around the office and everybody was like, this is the best podcast that's ever been released. And then we just never, there's an old story about one of the Simpsons writers and David Letterman wrote a movie in the 70s. And then they all got busy doing their own stuff. And it's considered like the best comedy script of all time, and like 15 people have seen it. Like, we should just do that with the Monday episode. Like, sure. Richie's just gonna start floating. I once heard a story that there's someone I know in Hollywood told me that, or sorry, someone I know who's adjacent to the entertainment industry said there's a trick in Hollywood where, like, 6 months before a movie, this, you can't use this all that often, but you can do it sometimes, maybe every couple of years, that you just start floating that a movie is the best movie of all time, just to get the buzz going. Because no one's going to share, like, oh man, this new Matt Damon movie is supposed to be pretty good. But if you hear rumors from the set that this is the best movie of all time, you're going to repeat that. I heard, someone told me that, like, someone involved with the movie Gravity was doing that. They were just floating that Gravity was, like, the best movie of the modern era, like, 6 months before it came out, just to get the buzz going.
I say this stuff happens in the, it happens in the draft cycle, right? Where you start hearing buzz about guys, and now we're talking about Caleb Williams is going to be maybe the best quarterback. I mean, maybe not of all time, but we're putting that out there for next year.
They're doing it this year. They're comping Bryce Young to Steph Curry. All right, let's get to Von Miller. All right, Von Miller, future Hall of Fame pass rusher, one of the best players of his era, two-time guest on Slow News Day, and most importantly, besides the fact he's here with the Pennington Flip the Turf campaign, which we're going to get to, Lindsey Jones covered him in Denver, and now it's a little reunion. What's going on, Von Miller?
Howdy, guys. It's the offseason, you know, working out, trying to get better. It's a great time. Draft is coming up, so exciting time for the league as well.
Let's get to the draft here, because the last time we talked during the season, you talked about how when you're, you know, obviously you get injured, you have time on your hands, so you're talking to Brandon Bean more, getting more into the scouting process and understanding it. You've gone through it. You are a top pick, a top two pick, obviously, in a lockout year. It was very strange and probably a different type of year than most people are used to. But going through it, Vaughn, what's one thing you think would surprise most people about the draft process?
Besides, like, you know, all of the notoriety, besides, like, all the workouts you have to do, besides, you know, all the meetings, and it being an exciting time, you know, for all of these guys, you know, getting ready to go into the National Football League, I would want, you know, the young guys to be more aware of their well-being and their player safety, you know, coming into the league and the type of power that they truly have as players in the National Football League. I would want guys to be more aware of the facilities that they play in, the facilities that they work in, and of course, you know, the fields that they play on. And I'm here with Pennington today and the Flip the Turf campaign to really raise awareness about the type of dangers of playing on artificial turf, and to flip all the turf, all the artificial turfs to natural turfs as well.
Hey, I want to ask about that, because the NFLPA a couple of weeks ago came out with a report card, and basically, you know, and I'm sure you saw it, everybody saw it, about different facilities and you know, different amenities that each team has. Do you think we're getting to a place now where the conversation has shifted and players are saying, like, okay, it's ridiculous this team doesn't have childcare. It's ridiculous that this team is charging for cafeteria food after 5 p.m. or whatever. Do you think that conversation is changing a little bit, Vaughn?
Yeah, you know, and of course, it'll always be things that, you know, the players and the owners don't see eye to eye on. Like, I get right. It. Like, if I'm an owner, like, and it just depends on the type of owner and the type of environment and the type of organization that they run. But I can totally see owners, you know, really prioritizing other things other than facilities and prioritizing other things that they have going on than player safety. I totally get it. But we can always have arguments about, you know, child care and this and that. But I feel like the number one thing that we should have is lifetime health insurance. That on the next CBA, or whenever we have an opportunity to put that in, that's just one thing that we can't go without. You see the Damar Hamlin situation, my teammate, on national television, to not have lifetime health care to deal with some of the issues that may arise from that in the future is crazy to me. And I get, like, you know, if I'm putting on my owner's hat and I'm looking at it from my owner's point of view. Just because you make it in the National Football League does not mean that you get lifetime health insurance. I get that. But I feel like over a point of time for these guys that are playing 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, it should definitely become an option and a possibility for those players.
Wow, it's a great point. Do you think that, and this is not what I was going to ask, but you brought up the Damar Hamlin thing. You were injured at that point, but there's 52 guys, 53 guys who were watching that from the sideline and know Damar and still know Damar and were around it. Do you think that changed the way some guys on your team or even you view football?
No, I mean, I always knew it was a possibility. And I've seen, you know, this game, I've seen it from a violent point of view for a very long time. So to see it on national television and, you know, for him not to get up right away or him not to give the thumbs up on the stretcher or any of those things are, you know, it doesn't matter how long you play in a game. Those moments are always affect you. And, you know, thank God he's all right. Thank God he bounced back. I think, you know, it was a lot of positive that came from that situation. The whole football world, the whole sports world, really the whole world, really, you know, came together all for DeMar Hamlin. It was beautiful to see everybody together and all the love come from that. So very, very tough situation, but thank God he's going to be all right. And he's back on the team, back and working out now.
Switching gears back to the football real quick before we get to Aaron Rodgers, who I really want to talk about. But when you're putting your scouting hat back on, when you're watching pass rushers, you prioritize what in the draft?
I really like sack daddies. And a sack daddy is a guy that just gets sacks. You know, if you get sacks in college, in that environment, you're going to get sacks in the league. It doesn't, you know, it's harder for players that have never had have never gotten sacks in college to really develop into that player. And it happens. You know, you see guys like J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald, but those guys are anomalies. For me, if I'm looking at a pass rusher, it doesn't matter if he's 6'7" or 5'7". Like, if he has an ability to get off the ball quickly and get to the quarterback, those guys tend to be sack daddies in the NFL as well.
Avon, we know that you are starting to plan for your next career as a general manager, eventually, way down the line after your career ends. And you played for a former player who turned into a general manager. John Elway was the guy that drafted you. And, in studying who John was as a GM, he was always really good at selecting defensive players, right? He looked for the guys that he had a hard time playing against. When you're looking from you're putting your scouting hat on, what do you look for in opposing quarterbacks? And when you look at this draft class, which do you think of these quarterbacks maybe have the best chance to make it in the NFL based on, what's the hardest to defend?
You know, sometimes with quarterbacks, you just never know. That's totally different from the sack days. Like, you just never know. Obviously, it's one or two quarterbacks every year where you just know. You you look at C.J. Stroud or you look at Bryce Young, and you just know, like, these guys are going to have a good time. But I think, all the other players, you just never really know. And I think free agency for me would be one of the areas where I hang my head. Free agency would be a spot where I go and find vets to really build my team up, the waiver wire. These are areas where I would build my team up, because in the draft, you never really know. And, if you're on a great team, you won't even have those type of picks. But whenever you had an opportunity to draft these guys, my motto is to always pick the best player available. It could be an offensive guard. It could be a kicker, a punter. Even I would never take – I would never draft. I'd lose my job quick if I draft a kicker. I'm all about just picking great players, and the ones that just jump off at you, whether it's a cornerback, a wide receiver, an offensive lineman. I feel like we should build our team around those draft picks. Our foundation of our team would be free agents and guys that we pick off waiver wire. And of course, you have to have a great quarterback. And finding great quarterbacks for me, I'm always taking back to the players, like you said with John Elway, that I've been around, that I've admired, the Peyton Mannings, the Josh Allens, the Patrick Mahomes. I really like Derek Carr and, who he was as a leader on and off the football field. And I think I would just lean on some of my experiences with all of these players, even though you would never find a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen, but I will lean on some of the traits that they have and try to find those traits in, young quarterbacks and all the young great players that are coming up.
Broad question. Most frustrating quarterback to ever play against? Was it – obviously – lining up against Patrick is a nightmare. Lining up against Peyton in practice is probably a nightmare, where you just don't know where he's going. He's getting the ball out of his hands quickly. First of all, who was that to you, or who has that been for you?
I think, Russell Wilson, when he was with Seahawks and in the glory days, nobody wanted to play Russ. Nobody wanted to play Russ, man. He was a running quarterback, still is a running quarterback, but his intention is to get the ball down the field as far as possible, just like Patrick Mahomes, just like Josh Allen. And, I've played Russ multiple times throughout the years, and nobody wants to play a Russell Wilson. So he was one of those guys that nobody wanted to play. I think Kyler Murray is one of those guys that don't want to play. I'm a passer. I want to get to the quarterback.
Right.
And right when I get to the quarterback, I want to just lay down like a Peyton Manning or an Eli Manning. That's what I want. I don't want the guy to see me coming and you know what I'm saying? Shift and run around. I want the guy, when I get there, I want him to be like Phillip Rivers and just, take the L and get back up and start a new play. When you're playing against a Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, a Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. You know, these guys are tough to play because they can, they're very elusive. They can avoid you and still they get the ball downfield and make big plays.
So let's back up here. So the Manning brothers would just take the L?
You know, I got one sack on Eli. But, yeah, Eli's going to lay down for you. He's going to lay down for you. You know, Peyton, he's going to lay down for you. You got to think, why? And then I'm thinking, like, you know, if my son would be a quarterback, I would want him to be like that as well. Like, why would I try to extend this play? I got two defenders in my face. Why would I try to extend this play? And I end up getting hurt, and now I'm useless to my team. Like, just go ahead and lay down, and let's play again.
Is there a player like that who's not fleet of foot, but they wouldn't take the L and they would just kind of stand up? Is there the opposite of the Mannings of the Phillip Rivers?
Yeah. So Joe Burrow is like that. He's not going to take the L. Patrick Mahomes is not going to take the L. Josh Allen is definitely not going to take the L. He's a different guy. Tua, oh man, Tua's extremely tough to get. Now we got Aaron Rodgers in the division. He's always been tough to get. And the thing about Aaron Rodgers is he just has this ability to really have all his attention on you and still looking down the field at the same time. So quarterbacks that are able, even though they're not like elusive and, you know, or they're not just going to run past you, even though, you know, Aaron Rodgers will still do that stuff. But Aaron Rodgers, especially because he has his attention on you and where you're rushing, and he has his attention down the field and the DBs and everybody else. And it's only been a few quarterbacks that have been able to do it.
So Aaron Rodgers obviously is the big news in the NFL now that that trade is finally done. He is coming to the AFC East. You're going to get to play him two times a year, assuming that you're ready to go this season. What do you like about playing him, and how does it change the complexion of that division now?
I mean, the division's already tough. The Jets were already a tough team. You know, we lost to the Jets, you know, once last year, and they played us tough in the second game, you know, without their starting quarterback. And they played the whole league tough. Won a lot of games that people didn't expect them to play. Defense is phenomenal. They have all types of players from Quinn Williams to Sauce Gardner. And their offense is great, too. You know, they had two big-time offensive linemen that were hurt, and they were still competitive, you know, without those guys. So you add Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Fame quarterback, into that mix, and it's just going to be – it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough AFC East division, and that's what we want. You know, you live to play in those primetime games. You're not going to get, you know, nobody's going to watch a primetime game if you're playing the third-string quarterback and the team is all beat up. You know, you want to play great teams like the New York Jets will be, and, you know, the Buffalo Bills will be, and the Patriots have gotten better, and the Miami Dolphins, like, they're crazy last year as well. So it's a tough division, and it's what you want. I want to play in a competitive division. I want to play in the big-time games. I want all the light to be on the games that we play in, because that's what playing pro sports is all about.
I know you've got quite a jersey collection. Was Aaron Rodgers still kind of your white whale? Have you ever been able to get his jersey?
No, I haven't got Aaron Rodgers' jersey. We talked about it many, many times. You know, he just changed. He's just one of those guys. He's just a different guy on the football field. You know, like, yeah. You're working out with him. We work out in L.A. together. It's like, yeah, man, I'll get your jersey. Then you get on the field, and it's like, oh, you can just tell, like, nah, I'm not getting the jersey today. You know, especially, like, last year with all the adversity that he was going through with the Green Bay Packers. You know, everybody's on his back about this and that. I wasn't even going to ask for that jersey. But that would be one that I would love to get, for sure.
Amazing. All right, you mentioned it earlier. Tell us what you're doing with Pennington.
I'm here with Pennington, the Flip the Turf campaign. I'm all about player safety. I'm all about guys being able to play as long as possible. If that means changing the rules so we can't tackle a certain way, if that means changing helmets, if that means all the artificial turfs becoming natural turf, I'm all for it. And there's data out that shows playing on artificial turf is more dangerous than playing on natural turf. Injuries are going to occur. This game is already tough. Like, things are going to happen. I don't want me to be injured because of the surface that I'm playing with. I think those are all things that we can avoid, and that's why I'm here with Pennington and the Pennington Flip the Turf campaign.
Amazing. Von Miller, thank you for coming back to the phone today, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate you, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on, I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, Sauce Gardner, one of the best young players in the NFL, one of the best players in the NFL after last year. He works for the New York Jets. He is here with Call of Duty. Sauce, what's going on, man?
What's going on? How you doing?
I'm excited to talk about Aaron Rodgers, who was your new teammate after yesterday. Nice timing here. Let's start here. When you play against Aaron Rodgers, and you did last year, famously, you take the cheese head and parade around in an image that is roughly 1 million Jets fans' Twitter avatar at this point. What stood out about how annoying he was to play against, what he did, how he manipulated the defense? You guys obviously won, but going against him was like what, Sauce?
I mean, it was a lot of like film study that I had to do, not just me, but the whole defense.
Yeah.
You know, he's so deceptive. You know, he's been around for a long time. He's won multiple MVPs. So, you know, it wasn't one of those games where I could just game plan against the receiver. I had to, you know, game plan against him as well. And, it was a pretty tough task. You know, even though I had a pretty good game, it was harder than many may think.
Can you take me through that real quick? Because that piqued my interest. What, when you're game planning against a quarterback and not just a receiver, what does that entail?
Man, you got to look at everything. So in certain formations, you got to try to see if you got a beat on, you know, where he want to throw the ball to, you know, on third downs, you know, that's the money down. You got to see like what receiver, you know, do we want to throw it to the most? Because 9 out of 10, that's who's going to get the ball. So, you know, those are just a couple of the things that I look for.
Who was the toughest quarterback that wasn't Rodgers you played last year?
I'll probably say Josh Allen. You know, he a guy that extends those plays, you know. Mm-hmm. He's got to defend the second down and the second play when you're going against Josh Allen.
So let's go through the timeline here. You found out about the trade officially yesterday. How?
I kind of had a feeling like it was going to happen before the draft, but I actually found out at the barbershop.
What?
Yeah, I was at the barbershop, you know, my barber Alex, he was cutting my hair and he's talking about like, yeah, when the Aaron Rodgers situation going to happen? I was like, man, I don't know when it's going to happen. Next thing you know, he just looked up on the TV and it just said, Jets finalized a trade with Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, then they got to going crazy in there. You know what I mean?
Wait, so you couldn't move? You're getting your haircut. So it's not like you can move around. You probably like, did you need a second from the haircut?
Yeah, I need a little second. I ain't gonna lie. I need a little second.
What was your first thought?
I mean, you know, me and A-Rod, we've been chopping it up a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, I always knew that he wanted to be a Jet. You know, we were just always chopping it up. It was just a matter of when it happened. You know, I was just excited that it happened. But, you know, I always knew it was going to happen.
Let's go through one more question here about Aaron Rodgers. You guys have had the longest playoff drought in American professional sports. You've only been there for 1 year but it's been over a decade. The Sacramento Kings were the previous longest drought that ended this year. Obviously they had a culture change. They had a team change. The expectations, the moment Aaron Rodgers joins a team, it's only been 24 hours. The expectations change. How, Sauce? Is this a playoff team this year? Does the drought end this year?
Oh yeah, most definitely. We was a playoff team last year. You know, we didn't finish like we were supposed to. what I mean? But with A-Rod joining and a few more new pieces, you know, that just makes it, like, you know, easy.
The drought's over. The drought's over. I agree. Like, even if he plays an average, you know, he's going to play better than average, obviously. But even if he's just okay, it's a playoff team. You look at last year, the defense, the skill guys, all that stuff. So I'm completely in agreement with you. All right. Going through the draft process a year ago today, basically, you learned what about the NFL going through the process, meeting with all of these teams? What surprised you about that process?
I pretty much knew everything. You know, I always knew, like, from other people. I never experienced it. Like, one of the main things is, like, it's not just football. Like, when you're going through that process, that draft process, they want to see what type of person you are. You know what I mean? They're looking for the little things. You know what I mean? So that's probably the main thing I learned during the draft process.
When you say little things, what are some of those little things that people wouldn't know that the teams are looking for?
It's not little, but it's not football. You know, when you were an athlete, you're just thinking like football. They trying to see the way you carry yourself, the way you treat everyone, you know, not just the coaches, the way you treat the janitor, the way you teach your professors, everything like that. You know, those not little things, but you know how it is when you're a football player. You just think as long as you're good at football, that's all that matters. But, you know, when it comes to the draft process, you know, that's just part of it.
When did you realize Jets fans were different? You get here, and obviously, I mean, I think Jets fans are unique, even among the 32 fan bases, even among the New York. I mean, I live in the New York area. Even among New York sports fans, they're a different type of fan. When did you realize Jets fans were different, Sauce?
I mean, I remember when I first got drafted, you know, when I just seen them in the stadium, they were all so rowdy and, you know, excited that I was going to become a New York Jet. You know, so I always knew they had that energy, but when I seen how electric they were, you know, on Sundays, that's what won me over the most, man. So, you know, they always welcomed me with open arms and they so supportive. You know, I always appreciate them.
Tell me about playing in such a young, fast defense and what that means, how much it makes your life easier, and just the talent you have around yourself right now, Sauce, on defense.
That's great to just play with a young defense. You know, like you said, you know, we're going to be moving fast. That's what you expect out of a young defense, you know, flying around the field, getting to the ball. You know, we just have a lot of energy when we're out there. You know what I mean? And we just feel like we could just finish the whole game, you know, since we're young and since we're just so hungry.
Can you take me through, you know, you're here with Call of Duty. I want to talk about that a little bit. You know, I someone said this the other day, a scout, and they were talking about how video games are the hobby for every single player right now who comes in the draft. And it's very rare that there isn't a guy who wants to just go home and game. What the connection is when young guys get together, and there's just a lot of gaming now, you know, after you guys leave the facility, what's that like? And who are your teammates that you play video games with?
You know, my teammates, one of the main guys is Aston Davis. He plays safety. He's pretty good like me. You know what I mean? He play Quincy,
yeah.
Jermaine Johnson. Brees just started playing. Garrett plays. Like, it's all the guys pretty much play. All the guys pretty much play Warzone, Call of Duty. You know what I mean? So I always grew up playing Call of Duty. And it was just a blessing to be able to come to the Call of Duty suite last year. You know, that's when it all started. You know, I did my thing. You know, they had a 2-minute challenge, see how many kills, who can get those kills. And, you know, I ended up, you know what happened after that.
When Franz Wagner was on this show for Call of Duty, the Magic Star, I'm a huge Magic fan, but when he was on, he was talking about how he likes to game and he likes to play Call of Duty because a lot of his friends are elsewhere in the world, friends from home or whatever, and you can still get that connection. Is that you too, where you can just hop on and play with friends from home and it'll be like you guys never left?
Yeah, that's exactly how it is. You know, it's not one of them things where you hop on and it's all, don't get me wrong, we trying to win every game. You know what I mean? So it is competitive. We want to get the most kills. We want to win, but, you know, it's just like we're in person. You know, we having those great vibes, joking a lot. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, it's as equivalent as if we were in person for real, for the most part.
All right, Sauce Gardner, thank you so much for coming on Slow News Day. We appreciate you.